Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
The Lord is the one that when my heart is troubled, that He is the way, the truth, the life.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
Truths that are taught by the Lord at the very last hours of His life on this earth, I think, are very needful today in our day and age, as we're going to talk about soul tsunami, because that is where we are in our own culture, in our life today. I'd like to use that as a picture and illustration of what really can and is happening in multiple people, in multiple families, in multiple lives, and really our own country today in a cultural sense, that there is a torrent, a killer wave that is just rolling its way through our own lives today. As I'm looking at a group of individuals, as was the disciples, that had no idea that within a 24-hour period, their whole world was going to be upside down. And Jesus, in that window of time, He being the only one that knew this is what's going to take place, began emphasizing themes and topics, really summarizing the last 3 years of teaching that He had, taking all of the scriptures that He had fulfilled as we have it in the scriptures, and put them into topics, and was saying to them, you need these. And He was saying, you better have a deep foundation in me, or you will not end up surviving the tsunamis of life that blow through your own soul. And I would say to you, therefore, in your own life, where are you in the foundations of your own life? What are you going to hang on to? Maybe better yet, what are you hanging on to? When pressures come into your life, by family, by individuals, by your own issues of life, maybe it's some physical, maybe it is just the overflow of our culture that is cresting and crashing down on our own families and you, what is your anchor point? What is your foundation? Is if you don't really have an answer to that, well, you say, well, it's like, I'm strong. Great. A lot of people thought they were really, really strong. And just as simply as a force of water that washed everything away, other than what was established in stone. So I'd like to emphasize for you what I believe to be 7 very critical foundations that if you're going to survive your world and the pressures of your own life, let me give you these 7. I'm not going to get to all of them, but I think these are important. I've said them before, and this is an ongoing part of a full series in the era of a faith-filled start, Life from the Scriptures. If you don't understand this, really, anything that comes along your little world is going to sway you. Hey, that sounds good, man. Did you see the new book? Hey, I'm going to read the book. Hey, you better be careful. You take that little Bible verse and, well, this is why I'm going to. That's great. You better make sure it's directed by the Spirit of God. And so it's important for you to be able to understand these. And therefore, I want to give you these 7. Number 1, these are what Jesus Himself emphasized, and you really need to have it as an emphasis today. And they're found in the book of John. I just took them in really summary form. And so I'm not going to, as we would try and do, walk through one text and line by line and verse by verse. Let me just step back and as a satellite, snapshots of the devastation that we saw in multiple countries let me just give you. And we saw, and I remember seeing multiple, at least structures that were still there. I don't know what was inside, but I do know the structures were there because there was some kind of foundation to handle the force. These are seven. And really, you need to put them up on your refrigerator. You need to put them in your car. You need to definitely put them in your brain, because if you don't have them, anything's going to sound good. Number one, very foundation to all of it, is the Lordship of Christ through the authority of Scripture. The Lordship of Christ. What do you mean by the Lord? The term itself basically means to be the boss, the controller. He tells you what to do. Have you ever done that in your life? That has got to be a foundation of your life, that you step back and you say, you know what's going to get me through those difficult times? That the Lord is the one that when my heart is troubled, that He is the way, the truth, the life. It's what Romans 10, 9 through 13 talks about. He is Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord, who's the boss of your life. And the physical way to see that every day is the Scriptures that unfold, the written word being revealing the living word. And that does start with a point of salvation. This is a major tenet. And individually, it starts with a relationship with Christ. I was reading a book the other day, and it was asking the question that was being answered in the book, because someone had asked a question, I don't know if I died today where I'd spend an eternity, and I'd done some reading about Islam, and should I pray to Muhammad? Should I pray to, who should I pray to? I don't know what it means as far as salvation. I thought the author made an excellent statement. Let me just state it to you, because he said, Muhammad was a sinful man. The Quran tells him to confess his sins to Allah. But Allah is not the true God and never claimed to have a just basis for forgiving sin. Islam says to do the best you can, hoping that at the last day, your good deeds will outweigh your bad. You know, this author says, that no court on earth would allow such injustice. You can't even pay for a parking ticket by parking legally the next time. To save the lives of 100 people from drowning would not make up for murdering one. We can't pay the penalty for breaking the law in the past by keeping it in the future. If you've lived a perfect life from now on, even if that were possible, you thereby could not make up for having sinned in the past, because you get no, quote, extra credit for doing what the law requires. Good deeds cannot nullify bad deeds. And that Islam offers such fraud provides that as a false religion, this author states. And any religion, or anyone that would state to you, listen, you keep doing good things because it's going to pile up enough to outweigh what bad you might do. And it makes no sense to us in the area of our own government. It makes no sense in the area of life. Then why in the world would it make sense for eternity? And something as invaluable and precious as your own soul. That's why the Bible's so clear about Jesus Christ wants to be the Lord of your life. He doesn't come in a demanding way. Fact is, flip back to John chapter 12, just before he goes into the upper room. He said to his disciples the day before in John chapter 12, when he said in verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. He said, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And he went on then in John 13, and John, who now really records 92% of the Gospel of John, is not even found in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, or Luke. John emphasizes the beloved John at his age, is just throbbing with life and color when he says Jesus was our Savior. He was the Son of God. And the fact is, when Jesus came at this time, he came to be the Savior of the world. But there will be a day, my friend, if you're a Christian, you'll come back with him at the end of the tribulation, and he will come as a judge. There is a judgment coming. There is going to be a judgment of what is right and what is wrong. And even though our world is knocking away all those props and putting it all on one level, because really, that's fine if you want to talk about Jesus, but you've got to talk about every other religion as well. And now it's like you can't even talk about Jesus. So you can talk about everybody that's God, but God. That's the world in which you're living. That's the whole flow and current in which if you don't hang on to something, my friend, you will be washed away as if, you know what, hey, this is like we're going for a boat ride. And you are going for a boat ride. Your life is moving in a direction in which ultimately there is a judgment. Christ is not judging you, my friend, for the immediate now. He is judging you for what will happen and how you will end up living in the future. And that living in the future is going to be based on how you're living now. But he is out of love saying to you, my friend, there is more to life than what you think there is. And it starts with the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. This is not going to change. That's where our lives and ministry will be built on a non-negotiable lifetime commitment to Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. And by the way, when you get yourself in a place, if you are going to be taught Scripture, find out a church that's going to teach that. Because with that, whole flow is also showing up in our own Christianity, showing up in our own churches. I think I referred about a year ago to a book by John MacArthur on Hard to Believe. And in ways, it's hard to believe what some of the things he was saying. He made the observation in our own churches today that if the message is too confrontational, too judgmental, or too exclusive, or scary, unbelievable, hard to understand, or too much anything else for your taste, then churches everywhere are eager to adjust that message to make you more comfortable. It's kind of a new version of Christianity, and he used it in the beer commercial of Bud Light. But he put it in the context of churches when he said it's a Christianity for consumers, Christianity light. The redirection, watering down, and misinterpretation of the biblical gospel in an attempt to make it more palatable than popular. It tastes great going down and settles light. It seems to salve your feelings and scratch your itch. It's a custom tailored to your preferences. But if that lightness will never fill you up with the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is designed by man and not God, and it's hollow and worthless. In fact, he goes on, it's worse than worthless. It's because people who hear the message of Christianity, light, think they're hearing the gospel. They think they're being rescued from eternal judgment when, in fact, they're being tragically misled. Many of you that are in transitory parts of life where you end up moving to other places and other locations of the world, you need to find a place that the Lordship of Christ through the authority of Scripture is clearly being stated. He said one suburban church sent out a mailer recently promising an informal, relaxed, casual atmosphere, great music from our band, and that those who will come, believe it or not, even have fun. Well, that's great, he says, if you're a coffee house, but anyone who claims to be calling people to the gospel of Jesus Christ with those as priorities is calling really to a lie, he says. You know what? I agree with that. Hey, you be in a place to say, all right, if I'm going to have an anchor point, the Lordship of Christ, the authority of Scripture, and being in a place to enjoy that because it's truth.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.